On Wednesday night after our Epiphany service, we had a program with Leroy and Amanda Ray, who are missionaries to South Sudan. They're very interesting people, as a lot of missionaries are, really dedicated to their work and passionate people. They've been staying with Larry and Kathy Little at their Heron Lodge next to their house, and so it's kind of a natural connection for us to ask them to speak. Missionaries, you know, I sort of understand the missionary thing. Not completely, but sort of. My ancestors were missionaries, so I have got some missionary blood in my veins, I guess. My great-grandfather was a missionary to the Lakota Indians in Minnesota and South Dakota, and his father also was even further back. And some of the second generation went to China or other places, ministered in South Dakota. So I've got this heritage of missionaries. I've never really quite felt comfortable with it. You know, there's some good things about missionaries, and there's some things I'm not so crazy about. The missionary impulse is part of our heritage, part of the Christian identity. It goes all the way back to the early church. We heard in Acts 8 today about how the apostles in the very, very earliest church heard that there were people who believed in the word of God in Samaria. And how did that happen? They didn't know who were these people and what was their connection to the apostles. So they sent Peter and John out to find out and to teach the people in Samaria about the Christian faith. And they did some teaching, and they said that you need to receive the Holy Spirit. They hadn't done that before, so they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit, which was a mark of being a Christian at that time. So that missionary impulse to send somebody from the home base out is from the very beginning. Later on in Acts, we read about how the apostles sent Barnabas out to Antioch, same reason, to help that new church learn about the apostolic message. And even later on, the apostles sent Barnabas and Paul on a big, long missionary journey. Of course, we know about the missionary journeys of Paul. So that's all just part of the DNA of the Christian church. And it sort of all stems from, you know, what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It's called the Great Commission. So, you know, it's part of being a Christian. And if Christianity is true, and if Christianity is important like we think it is, then isn't it important for us to share this valuable gift with other people? I mean, I think that's the basis of evangelism and missionary work. On the other hand, I'm skeptical. A lot of damage has been done in the name of missionary work. My own ancestors, I feel ambivalent about, because I know they brought the gospel to the Lakota people in South Dakota, but they also brought Western culture. They taught them how to read and write English. They taught them how to farm, how to raise cattle, how to live in a house. You know, all the things that go along with Western culture in addition to the gospel. And as a result, I don't think they necessarily intended this, but as a result, it destroyed a lot of the culture of the people. The songs, the dances, the stories, the regalia, the lifestyle. That was all became a thing of the past. And as a result, the identity was lost. And when you lose your culture, you lose your identity as a people. And that is critical to a people's self-understanding and self-image. And it's been, you know, a century more than a century of trying to rebuild that sense of culture and sense of identity, which is so important for them to do. That's their work, is to regain their sense of themselves. You may have read a book called The Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver. It's very well written. It's kind of a shocking novel of a man who, in 1959, felt that God was calling him to bring the light of Christ into the darkness of Africa. So he took his wife and his four daughters and went to the Belgian Congo, which I guess is one of the darkest places of Africa, supposedly. And when he got there, he started evangelizing. And he was a failure. He was arrogant. He was presumptuous. He was kind of paranoid. He tried to just force his idea of Christianity on the local people there, and they resisted. And as a result, he didn't have any success. And one of his little daughters died, bitten by a snake, and the rest of the daughters and the wife ended up leaving him. And it's the story is written in their voices. They narrate the story, the five women. And you kind of see how things play out over the years and the disintegration of the family. So it's a very negative portrayal of missionary work. I think it's a little too negative. But it, you know, raises those questions in this day and age. Should we be sending missionaries to Africa, or should Africa be sending missionaries to us? I mean, there are some very faithful, spirit-filled, passionate people in other parts of the world. And it's sort of presumptuous of us to say that, well, you know, we know better and we can send people over there to tell them. So, as you can see, I feel very ambivalent about missionaries. But I was very surprised when I heard Leroy and Amanda speak. They are not arrogant or presumptuous people. They are strong personalities, and I think you have to be a strong personality if you're going to give up everything that you have here and you're going to go to a place that doesn't have any infrastructure, no electricity, no water, where there's been war and unpredictability, and plant your life there. So yeah, they're strong personalities, but they're sensitive to the native culture. They were telling us about Sudan. You know, for the last 50 years, there's been war in Sudan, and a few years ago, 2013 or so, they had a referendum, and they separated the North Sudan from the South Sudan. And North Sudan is mostly Muslim, and the South Sudan is mostly Christian, although there's all kinds of animistic religions and mixed in with that. And after they separated out of South Sudan, a civil war began in South Sudan between two of the major tribes. So the place has been full of conflict for decades. And one of the results of that is the only way people know how to solve conflict is violence, is to fight. Another result of that is that a whole generation of people have been lost to war. And 50% of the population is under 18 years old. Can you imagine that? Another result is that they've lost their leaders to war. And so when you look around and say, who can I raise up as leaders, as pastors? Well, there are not many people. So there's some real deficit. It's almost like a great place of opportunity because there are so many things that are needed there. Leroy said that their goal is to raise up Sudanese pastors. You know, the local people can speak best to their own people. And he knows that. Rather than him preaching, it's better for him to raise up pastors that would start churches and lead those churches. I asked them how long they plan to stay there. I figured, you know, maybe 6 or 10 years. They said, oh, we're in our mid-30s. We'll probably be there 30 years. I thought, that's dedication. And they realize it's a long-term project because you can't just come in and sort of make an impact and then have everything good. It's going to take time to raise up a generation of pastors. One of the things I really enjoyed about Amanda, she said that because of the war, they had really lost their arts. You know, when you're focused on survival, you don't have time for the arts. And she said the storytelling, the dance, the songs, the paintings, is all languished and withered during all that time of violence. And she said, we don't have any art in our church. She said, look around you. This was back when we had all the garland and the wreaths up. She says, look around this place and see how much art you have here. Look at your flowers. They're so beautiful, she said. And the hangings that you've made and the banners and all these stations of the cross depicting, you know, the passion. That's all this rich art that you have and design. And she said, we don't have any of that. So she said, when we left for our 3-month furlough to come to the United States, I told a group in the church there, I want you to make a painting to hang in the church, and it's up to you what you do. It's got to be from Scripture. I don't care what medium you use or how you do it. It's up to you. Make a painting that we can have in our church. So she's encouraging them to do that. They're trying to learn the local language, which is a dialect, because Leroy says it's important for them to be able to speak in the native language. You know, if you're trying to communicate the concepts of the gospel, you need to communicate in their language so that you understand it and they understand it. Because the words of their language are going to be different than the words of our language. So he knows that's going to be a long, long process. And he's working on that. His kids are already picking up the language, but you know, us adults, it takes longer. So Amanda said that they want to keep the people's customs and their culture as much as possible, as long as it doesn't conflict with Christianity. There are a lot of animism, belief in spirits, witch doctors, that sort of thing. Amanda's a nurse, and so one of the gifts she brings is health care, and she says, there have been many weeks when she's delivered a baby a week. She lost track last year how many babies she delivered. So what a resource. It was clear that they love this country. They said, pray for Sudan. Because, you know, these are such wonderful people here, and there's such opportunity in this place. There's all kinds of resources. The people are enthusiastic and hardworking. So pray for Sudan, that there'll be stability, and that there'll be good things happen there. They have a school, a couple of schools, 700 students. And it's kind of mind-boggling thinking of the things they have there. They say they don't have any problems getting buildings. People will come from the United States and build them a building. What's hard is finding teachers, because there are not many qualified, trained teachers. They hire them from Uganda or some of the other countries around. And so that's one of their needs, is teachers. There's no electricity there. There's only a few miles of paved roads in the whole country. They don't have any kind of water grid, so at their mission station, they've got solar panels. And so they have some electricity. They've got a well that has good water. So that everyone in Sudan has got a cell phone, even though there's no, there are no home, you know, landlines, but everybody's got a cell phone. So when they have a meeting, they'll be meeting at one table, and over on the other table, it's just full of cell phones that are plugged in charging. Who would know? Africa is kind of a surprising place. I mean, things have changed there quite a lot. So they've got six kids, and Amanda's homeschooling them so that they'll be ready for college when they are old enough. And these kids are really something else. So it was really fun to see the kids. They are you know, they're pastor's kids. They're into it. And so they were great to have around. And I just had to admire them for doing everything they're doing, raising a family in a place like that where there's potential for unrest and violence. They said they were ready, if they needed to be able to leave the country. They have a friend who has a plane and said he would come in and take them out if they needed. So that takes a lot of courage. And I think they're in a place where there's not many other missionaries or churches at work, because it's sort of at the edge of what's safe. So despite all my skepticism and all my misgivings, I admire them. They're part of an organization called WOMF, World Outreach Missionary, Ministry Fund or something like that. And I looked it up on the web, womf.org, and it's a small missionary organization, pretty lean it looks like. They've got their IRS 990 on the web, so you can look at how much they spend on program and how much on administration and how much on fundraising. Less than 10% on fundraising, that's good. So seems to me that they're a pretty solid organization. Leroy and Amanda asked us for two things. The most important thing, they said, is prayer, because that's what really makes it all go. And the second thing is financial support. I said I'd give $50 and $10 a month. It's not very much, but if a lot of people do that, it adds up. And I was thinking that, you know, we don't have a missionary that we support right now. And maybe Leroy and Amanda are two people that we could support. So I kind of throw that out there. And because I admire them for what they're doing. When the apostles heard that people in Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent missionaries, Peter and John, out to teach them. And I think maybe it might be a good idea for us to do the same. Amen.